from the intersection of technology and public accounting.
It's technology advice and insight you can trust.
This is Tech2Go.
Tech2Go is the CPA Technology Advisor's monthly podcast program, a fast-paced roundtable discussion with executive editor Greg LaFollette and regular columnist Brent Goodfellow, Dave McClure, and Randy Johnston. These thought leaders tackle current technology issues impacting the tax and accounting profession.
Welcome to Tech2Go. This edition is brought to you by the CPA Technology Advisor. Visit cpatechadvisor.com for all the latest independent reviews, educational webcast programs, and a free productivity survey for your firm. Your host for Tech2Go is Greg LaFollette. He is the executive editor of the CPA Technology Advisor, and he also serves as the senior manager of tax and technology consulting for iBailey. He is an accomplished professional who holds the CPA and CITP credentials and is uniquely qualified to help firms navigate through the technology maze to find practical solutions that work. And now here's Greg to introduce you to the rest of the team on Tech2Go.
Hi, this is Greg LaFollette. Welcome to episode 3 of Tech2Go. Today, my guests and I discuss the recent move to daylight savings time, some of the problems that our colleagues had around the country. We talk about the filing season, what's happening with ProFX and .NET, and some of the communities and some interesting things there, some observations from practitioners on Lacerte and Thompson and some different add-on products. We spend quite a bit of time today discussing Office 2007, and specifically Excel, and we had to listen to Randy Johnston talk about pivot tables, so you're in for a treat there. A little later, about 33 minutes in, we'll discuss CCH's purchase of ATX and TaxWise, about how that's going, spend a few minutes there, and then a nice solid discussion of practice management software, how that's rolling out, where Thompson Creative Solutions is with their early product, and where some of the other people are playing catch up, what that's looking like. And finally, we'll spend 10 minutes or so talking about upcoming trade shows and conferences. So stay tuned, join me and my fellow columnists, my guests, and we'll discuss Tech2Go episode 3 for March 2007. Good morning, Greg LaFollette, Intersection Live and Tech2Go, episode 3. We're recording this on Friday morning, March 23rd. I have our regular panelist, Brent Goodfellow. Good morning, Brent.
How you doing, Greg?
Great. Thanks for joining us. Randy Johnston on the road calling in from where, Randy?
Rainy Tucson, Arizona.
Tucson, and it's raining in Tucson. My goodness. Well, regular panelist Dave McClure is off on vacation, and he's out of the country, and so we've substituted a very able guest. We're happy to have Richard Oppenheim with us. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Greg.
Thanks very much for sitting in. You're a longtime practitioner, CPA, CITP, been around the block more than a couple of times, and I know you're going to have some good insights for us. So let's roll right away.
Be careful about overstating the long.
Right, I understand. Let's roll right away. I want to talk a little bit about the daylight savings time change. That was a little mini Y2K. Anybody hear anything? Have any observations?
Well, I can tell you for sure. I know of some because, as you remember, Greg, I've got about 20 technical people that do infrastructure support.
Right.
We spent a significant amount of time on that. In fact, most of the labor effort over the last 3 weeks has been focused on that. Even following all of Microsoft's steps, we thought it was interesting to watch the Daylight Savings Correction Tool uninstall Office 2007 without any notice. And a few other issues like that. So lingering issues that continue to exist on servers and internet sites and so forth, but you know, nothing that's life-shattering or ending.
one of the things that I noticed, Randy, were not that I didn't have a single appointment in my little world with, you know, several different machines pointed at an Exchange server, some Office 2007, some 03, my Trio, all these different devices, and synced with lots of different things. Everything got changed at least once, and several things got changed more than once. And so different people, I noticed the airlines, for example, were arbitrarily changing theirs, thinking that other people wouldn't. And so they got corrected twice, which is a bad thing.
Yep.
Anything in practices? Do you have any problems out in your world, Brent?
No, in fact, the things actually went pretty smoothly, with the exception of those that chose not to patch their systems. And those that didn't apply the patch for whatever reason, thinking that it was another Y2K and not needed, they had some issues. I had a couple of tax clients show up early, which I didn't quite understand since we moved the clocks ahead, but just little things like that. I had not heard about the Office 2007 issue that Randy mentioned. As you know, Vista and Office 2007 didn't require the patch, and maybe that's why I pulled it off. I don't know.
Yeah, silly stuff. Silly stuff. Well, I'm glad we all made it. We made it through. We don't have to worry about it now until about the end of October, right?
Well, actually, there are indications that there's going to be things that will occur again in the April 1-2 time.
When it's exactly right
to occur. So, you know, the lookout window doesn't really end until sometime the first week of April.
Right. And then, of course, we'll all be lulled into complacency, and then we'll have the same problem again at the end, right?
That's right. In fact, right now the forecast is to watch for similar types of issues during the larger fall window.
Yep. Silly stuff. By fall, more people using Office 2007. I'm sorry?
By fall, a lot more people should have installed Office 2007. Whether that's better or worse, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. We'll see what will happen with that. Filing season full in swing. I office in an accounting firm, and there, you know, there's certainly lots of stuff going on there, and lots of people scurrying around. It appears that that everyone is having a really solid season, very busy, but no huge technical problems. Do you see any, Brent, where you're at?
Yeah, there's been a lot of issues with the CCH products this year. They went to a brand new e-filing system. It's web-based. They've had some issues related to that. As you know, bought the scan product, the Boktik DIP product, and they've had some pretty significant issues with that product as well. I haven't heard any major issues with the other two major vendors, although there may be some. We don't use Lacerte products. We do use Thompson Creative Solutions products, and they have been pretty solid, as near as I can tell.
Mm-hmm. One of the ways that I monitor these is by watching the bulletin boards, and the shop that I'm in, a top 25 firm, is a ProFX shop, and by and large, there have been some problems, but by and large, a fairly solid season. Some e-file problems, certainly, but by and large, a solid season. I watch the ProFX talk listserv, and I subscribe to that and to see what's going on. Also watch LTUG and over the Lacerte group, and then over on the Thompson group, that Arnie too, and just trying to watch all of those. It appears that everybody, I mean, of course, all you ever hear about are problems. No one ever calls me and says, I just want to tell you that everything's going really well.
Well, and another thing to keep in mind here in terms of the e-file product, that actually was CCH's first new .NET product. Most suite isn't supposed to arrive until fall of next year, but that was the first completed product that they put to market. So surprised, really, for there to be as few issues as there were based on brand new, written from scratch type of code. But the other pieces in terms of scan, some of the speed issues when compression ratios were wrong, heard some of those. And frankly, this has been a season of heavy fixes. There have been a lot of updates on a regular basis this year.
Right. Right, and more people, especially on the scan product, more people are implementing that product, full implementation, where last year most of the implementers were in what I would call test mode, right?
That's right. Well, not only that, but even with some of the issues that have been reported, I think the general information I'm getting is people are feeling like they're more efficient. Because they're moving to a paperless form of practice.
Right. When you look over at the Lacerte and the UltraTax CS products, they've both been extremely quiet on their bulletin boards and things. So I'm sure their support people are busy, keeping things going. But no great big blow-ups where, you know, all of a sudden something just plain doesn't work and you got lots of people dead in the water, and that's an ugly thing. We can hope that we don't hear any more of that and everybody gets to the end very successfully.
That in fact would be the hope, and again, I've heard the same thing on those that are doing the tax work paper processing, whether it was with CCH scans or Dockets product or some of the people trying to use some of the other new alternatives like a CheerPrep or Lacerte approach and so forth. So, hey, it's all new technology, but it's working pretty good for year one or two.
Right. Well, speaking of year one, we've got Office 2007 out there, and I thought what we'd do, we visited a little bit about how to do this, and I thought maybe we should kind of chop this up a little bit. Let's talk about Office 2000 in general first, and kind of see, there's lots of articles everywhere from USA Today to PC World to Newsweek about Office 2007. And I don't think we need to recreate those, but from an accountant's point of view, what should we think about? What should practitioners be looking for, and what should they expect? Who wants to kind of tackle a quick overview of Office 2007, and then we can go and talk about Excel specifically after that?
I'll jump in.
Okay.
I think the major thing with Office 2007 is the interface change. So we've gone from menus and toolbars to tabs and ribbons. And the intent of the developers was to expose commands that were buried in menus on what's called the ribbon. So you've got this large, it's probably an inch top to bottom at the top of each screen that exposes all of the context-sensitive features of a particular tab. And so, as I see it, the biggest issue for accountants is going to be learning the new interface. You know, they're used to doing things in previous versions of Office, which the interface really hasn't changed that much in, really, since about Office 2000. There's a tremendous set of tools out there which I think will be really beneficial to accountants learning the new interface, and you can download these tools from the Microsoft download site. They are called interactive guides. There's one for Excel, there's one for Word, there's one for PowerPoint. And you can also use these online, but you can download them so that they're always available, or you can put them on your network. And what these little interactive guides do, they run a flash movie, essentially. It allows you to select a feature from the 2003 release, and then it switches to the 2007 interface and shows you where that feature is found in the 2007 interface.
That's a very, very handy thing. And we'll put the link to those in the show notes. So as always, for our listeners, you don't have to scramble. You don't have to go write things down. Everything that we talk about will be in the show notes. So if you'll send me those links, Brent, we'll make sure to get those in the show notes. Do you see people deploying those and blasting them out over, you know, to make sure everybody has access to those?
Well, it really hasn't been an issue at this point because there's so little adoption. You know, they're kind of expecting the 2020 type of adoption rate. Although Office 2007 runs on XP, so it might get adopted a little bit faster than Vista. But as soon as the decision is made to start adopting Office 2007, and some firms are starting to move there even in tax season,
right?
These guides are going to become really valuable and probably should reside, you know, on a network somewhere so that everyone has access to them.
Sure.
Yeah,
I've been using them for some time as well, and that's a wonderful piece of advice. In fact, from my listener vantage point, if you only took one thing away from today's conversation, that might be the tip. We've gone so far as to actually map all of the command keys that exist or don't exist in a table, and it was really quite interesting to see what was gone from these different products from the ribbon bars. And you know how you had to try to work around those, but the multimedia interactive tool—it's superb across all the modules. So that's a gorgeous piece of advice.
Yeah, I have not seen that, and I need to because I've actually suffered a little bit with Office 2007. In many, many cases, it's an awesome piece of software and just you know, really, really great features. And I'm really a big proponent. This is not just an incremental move forward. There's some really good stuff, and so I'm a big proponent. But I've spent some time looking for things that I used to know where they were.
Well, Greg, there will be time, and it's going to take somewhere between 4 hours and 4 days for people to get comfortable. The simple thing for Office is that if you need to type a one-page letter, you don't need a whole lot of training, and you can get it. It's when you want to go into the additional features. But there's a second stage of what's hidden behind all of Office, and won't come out till people start using it a little bit more, and that is the number of templates that Microsoft has buried underneath every application.
Sure.
For Word, for Excel, for PowerPoint, and they start off with 3 or 6 that they show on the ribbon bar, then you can click down, and then you can get to see the 120 that they have available. And one can actually start putting up their own customized templates.
Right.
I think the other thing that we ought to just add here is there really is a lot of good help at Office Online. So it's Microsoft.com/Office. And if you click, they've kind of gone to the tab view even on that website. So there's a tab that says Help and How To. And if you click on that, there's lots of demos and other help to get people up to speed with the new version of Office.
So there are people who indicate that that Office is a little slow. For those of you who have Office 2007, for those that have installed it, observations on speed. Randy, what do you think?
Well, it's clear that the final code was cleaned up compared to the beta, and it is absolutely quicker.
Not as slow.
Yeah, it's not as slow. And I would tell you that Office 2007 compared to 2003 on the XP platforms is generally about the same speed, which was a design goal. Under Vista, I think the product feels noticeably faster. Have some technical guesses as to why that's going on, but none that are factual.
Uh-huh.
And then beyond that, the other problem that I've written about and continues to persist in the release code is file compatibility issues.
This is going to be big.
Yeah, this is going to be unfortunately very large, and I've had one or more every day this week while working, including one already this morning. And basically the issue is, even though we're supposed to be able to open old Office 2003 files, they don't always open up correctly. And likewise, even though we can save from Office 2007 and 2003 format, they don't always go backwards correctly. So further, understandable on this one, it's clear that a lot of the files created in any of the beta versions of Office 2007 are actually a problem. And as you know, I ran the product for 10-plus months, so I had a lot of old Office 2007 beta files. Those seem to only be able to be opened up now with Office 2003, mm-hmm. or not at all. They just haven't found a way to get to them.
Well, this this function that exists within 07 is a especially, and I'm going to kind of switch and go to Excel because that's where I've been spending my time trying to learn and experiment. And there is a function called the compatibility mode. And this is different than simply saving as. So if I go to my Office 07 and I open a new Excel workbook and I do some things, when I go to save it, I can save it as an Office 2003 file. And for in most cases, that's not going to be a problem for the style of worksheets that I'm working on day after day. But if I've gone crazy and I've decided that I really did need a million rows, in 07, as opposed to only 64,000 in 03, and I've got this great big spreadsheet, when I save it, it gives me this little nondescript message that says some features will be lost. You want to continue? And if I say yes, the rest of those rows just disappear. And that's a little disconcerting. But if you turn on this thing called compatibility mode, you still run in 07, but when you go to add, for example, a 257th column or something that violates the 2003 rules, it would stop you and say, if you do that, you will, you would lose it in backwards compatibility. So I think this is going to be kind of confusing for people.
Well, Greg, you mentioned that you turn this on and turn it off. That's not accurate. In Excel, at least, you can certainly turn it on and turn it off in Office, but in Excel, if you open a workbook that was created in an earlier version, it gets turned on automatically.
Exactly.
And those features are not available. Now,
right.
If you want the features of Excel 2007, then you go through a process of converting the 2003 file to the Excel XML format.
Correct.
And then the features are available.
Right, and I think we're saying the same thing. And maybe I'm the only person that was confused, but it's I think the important thing to know is that you can still save, read and write 03 files. So what's going to happen with all of the firms out there who use, for example, all the PPC e-tools, are all Excel driven? ProFX Engagement or Engagement CS, or they've done their own internal financial statements all formatted up in Excel 03. Is that going to be a seamless transition to 07? Did they just always keep those things in 03 format, or are we ultimately going to get rid of that save as an 03 file?
Well, I think as more people move to Office 2007, you're going to see some of those add-ins rewritten with the new interface, which has been, the new ribbon interface has been made available to developers. And I understand that Microsoft is not charging for that. It's been made available to developers without charge.
Sure. And I know both Thompson and CCH, who have those big engagement products and things that are so dependent on Excel, have both said that that this summer that they're going to have their products updated. Is that what you're hearing, Randy?
Yeah, that is basically the time frame, at least enough to make those things compatible. You know, on the systems where I'm running the released Office 2007 and the Office 2003 Pro, it's interesting to watch the applications launch, and I'm going to say not quite randomly, but pseudo-randomly, either the 2003 or 2007 version of the product. And I can't quite figure out why it's launching one over the other. I can take the same file, and in one context it'll launch 2003, and in another context it launches 2007. And I can come back later in basically similar context, and it'll launch the other application. So it'll launch 2007 where it launched 3 before, and it'll launch 3 where it launched 2007. Most of our listeners hopefully will only have one version of the software on their system, but
right.
Something unusual is going on, and I can't quite logically put it together yet.
Sure. So, well, one of the things that I've discovered as in my foray here into Excel 07 is that pivot tables are all different. And I mean, I barely understand the pivot tables anyway, and I think I understand them, and then I sit and listen to you talk about them, Randy, and I understand that I didn't know anything about them. Tell me, are people going to have to unlearn whatever little they did know about pivot tables? Are they easier or harder?
I think they're definitely easier, and that's the great news. The interface, once you see what they're doing, is much easier for a novice, and just as important for the people that have a fair bit of experience. I believe that they'll understand more of what the interface is doing. So the people who have the knowledge and worked with the pivot tables will see a new, easier way, although it might take them a little while to conceptualize that, but they'll be able to conceptualize and do more things in pivot tables more quickly because they understand the basic underlying mechanisms.
Sure.
So we're actually going to change the way we teach pivot tables simply because of this new interface change. And again, if someone's coming to the table with no preconceived notions, trying to teach building on the old style won't help them much because they won't be able to try that.
Right.
So, but in general, I think they're easier, better. I appreciate what happened with the interface there.
Good, good. Rich, have you been playing with Excel 07 at all?
I have not played with Excel a lot. I've done some nice stuff with Word, and getting through them. Excel is probably going to be May.
Right. Okay. Well, there are a couple of other things that I was impressed with, and the one I think is going to be helpful is this page layout view, which is really an Office thing, not just an Excel thing. But you've got the page layout view, so we finally have headers and footers in WYSIWYG with a single layout. It just will make it a lot easier for. Non-technical people to use it, and I think a lot of firms who have financial statements highly formatted, this will make it a little closer to one person doing things. How are you doing financial statements in your firm, Brent?
We kind of use both methods. We have some financial statements that are done in Word, and then we have other financial statements that are created right in the software. For example, the Creative Solutions accounting program.
Right. So, well, this page layout I think is gonna work. And the last thing I wanted to mention, I discovered something just yesterday that Excel now has support for imaginary numbers, which I remember from some of my math classes in college. But when I first saw it, I thought, gee, that's going to be really great for those firms that are doing forecasts and projections. We've got imaginary number support built in, right?
Yeah, in fact, I'm chuckling about that because I actually have a math degree, and my wife was also a math degree person, so we dealt with a lot of imaginary numbers as well as imaginary things in our early relationship. But it turns out that those higher mathematics supports and some of the function support that was added is useful in certain key areas. So
right.
It is extending beyond the typical financial accounting that has happened traditionally, And when we get more to business analytics and to forecasting,
right,
and more advanced features, we're going to need higher mathematics, and the support's there when we're ready to go there.
Right. Well, in our next episode next month, we'll talk more specifically about Word, and then later on we'll tackle PowerPoint. Great stuff over there. So if any of our listeners, if you have questions or comments or thoughts about things that you're doing with 07, things that you'd like us to visit about, please give us a call, and we'll add the numbers on the show notes. So give us a call and let us know what you think, and we'll deal with that. So last fall, CCH went out and bought a couple of new companies, both ATX and TaxWise, last summer and last fall. Those companies serve traditionally very small firms. They're large. There's an awful lot of those firms. Between the two of them, they serve well over 50,000 accounting firms, which is probably twice as many as CCH serves with its traditional ProFX line in larger, more multi-partner firms. So now all of a sudden, CCH has got these two new companies, and Jeff Gramlich is running those two companies. They're trying to learn about very, very small practitioners and what that means out there. Any thoughts about what's happening on that part? Are you hearing anything? Any concerns? Any pluses or minuses? Rich, what's your observation? You've been watching this for a long time.
It's everybody's acquiring everybody else, and what they're looking for is volume to trade up or sell. I spoke to a firm down in Texas, and they are actually taking people out of Big Four firms and using it in their operation. They have grown in 3 years from two partners to four partners and 30 staff.
Uh-huh.
The growth appears to be at the low end.
Right, in the small firms, because that's
in
where
the small firms, that's where the growth is.
Yeah, well, 90% of the firms in America have 10 or fewer people.
Right, but so, they're also soon going to have 15 or 20 people. I think that's where it's going to grow.
The small firms are going to grow larger, and who do you think they're going to be serving?
I think they're going to be serving the same people they've been serving, just more
small
people out of one firm serving a larger volume.
Okay.
I'm wondering if some of these small firms are going to jump ship before they get into the CCH software. I know there's a lot of other vendors out there who are saying, if you were displaced and don't like the fact that you're now part of the Wolters Kluwer software group, buy our product. Pro Series is the one I'm thinking of, I think.
Right, yeah, so I think it's a little bit disingenuous to have Intuit out there saying, if you don't want to be part of a big company, come and use our software.
Well, yeah, or Thomson Creative Solutions, but I'm just wondering, if some of these firms are going to stick it out or not. I remember many years ago when, Intuit picked up Lacerte, and there was a couple of other small companies, and it really affected practitioners out in my neck of the woods. And most of them were a little unhappy about it, but for the most part, they stuck it out and are still happy Intuit Lacerte users today.
Sure.
Well, probably one of the good pieces of news out of that is, he's a good guy to manage that group, but more importantly, CCH has actually allocated separate budget to develop and maintain that. They know that they have to treat small firms differently on those products and are trying to be responsive on that front. I suspect that the ATX product line will get the benefits of the technologies and developments of some of the larger products, so that part seems like it's pretty good. And, specifically, I think CCH is learning quickly that the small practitioner shops have some different needs in some ways, and obviously very similar needs in lots of other ways compared to the big shops. So keeping it as a separate product line and actually marketing it as a separate product line, I think will be a reasonably good long-term strategy for them. It'll be interesting to see how some of the common technologies are deployed between the two products, and that's not easy at this point.
Well, originally, you know, there was some certainly some buzz among some of the larger firms who are heavily invested in the ProFX line, concerned that some of the mind share at CCH would be focused on these new products, and it appears that with moving Gramlich over there, talented guy, and he's running that whole thing very separately, it doesn't appear that the ProFX guys have missed a step, and they're going on doing their same thing just as they've done before. So it sounds kind of like good news for everybody all the way around.
Well, again, I think it really is good news, because the people that I talk to inside the traditional Pro Systems group, boy, they are just all over trying to improve their products, and the resources are absolutely separate, and you've got, you know, Gramlich basically driving the small group. I think it's actually good news, and, you know, I always like to have two or three competitors, so I'm pleased to have Thompson in there slugging, and I wish Intuit had more, you know, practice management and other things to, you know, really make it a three-way battle as opposed
right.
to just, you know, three of them competing on the tax front.
Well, that's a great segue, Mr. Johnson, into our next topic, which is really practice management. And I want to talk about that. You know, the most firms, we did our reader survey, our Reader's Choice Awards, and one of the things that we find out is that a huge number of firms in the U.S. actually use QuickBooks for their time and billing. And I think it's really they use it to manage their accounts receivable rather than it's certainly not a practice management product, but that's the one that's getting used in these very small firms. And we've got probably the most futuristic of the most highly developed software for accounting firms today in this true .NET world is that Thompson Practice CS product. Have you guys looked at that?
I've loaded it up in a test environment.
Okay.
Looked at it a little bit. I know it's in production. There are some firms running it, and you know, I've heard really mixed reports. Those that are coming from Practice Solution are facing the issue of not converting their historical data, which is kind of the preferred method according to Thompson.
Sure.
Although they will attempt to do that, and so, you know, it's a matter of starting over or running two systems for a couple of years so that you have your historical data available to you.
Well, this whole idea of having a separate view for staff, another one for a firm, and another one for the client, and being able to build this highly personalized dashboard thing is it's pretty interesting. You know, when you look at the Thompson product that is out there and being sold, and I'm told it's in well over 1,000 firms now, and they're chugging right along. And as you said, Brent, with mixed reviews, there are people, you know, there are people who love it, people who have problems, and that's true of all software. But I mean, the fact is that we've got .NET software out there working really well for changing a paradigm of how things work. And when you go look at what CCH is building, and they say they're going to launch in 08, it's the same product. You know, so you got CCH right behind them, and Intuit does nothing in this world, in this practice management world. I'm just curious, Randy, what do you think of this stuff?
Well, you know, I was actually going to jump in because I've got clients that I've converted to Practice CS this past fall.
Uh-huh.
Basically, that they were fairly small groups in most cases, and I knew that we were pretty safe at 30 users and below because there were some performance problems early on with this product with larger accounts. Those problems seem to be going away, and that's probably good news. The whole strategy and style, and we'll just call it digital dashboard for a minute, where you can have customized dashboards by person, are real critical. The .NET technologies and styles, those I think are important in the long haul. Personally, the project management software that I use is .NET based, and there's some clear advantages to having those technologies available. And as I watch the CCH evolution of .NET, can see that we're going to have more of these components that we can plug together. So in the long haul, maybe we can have this best-of-breed type of solution connected through the .NET technologies. Maybe we'll still be in this monolithic buy it from one publisher if you're really going to have everything plugged together.
Right.
But, you know, you're absolutely right. The small firms that I've been in, a very large number of them are doing their basic accounting and contact management through the QuickBooks product itself, and they're using QuickBooks to service their clients. Frankly, they just don't see that they need more practice management capability than what QuickBooks is going to offer them. And frankly, the Intuit folks have figured out that firms are running the product that way. So I would suggest that you could expect more features to help small firms. In other words, if you're a small firm listener, you could expect features inside QuickBooks to make what you're trying to get done a little easier to do.
Right, I think they will add things in there that are, if nothing else, are defensive, that keep those people down on the farm from looking at these what I would consider higher end practice management products and just say, you know, why bother to go to there, because I've got this is good enough as opposed to best of breed.
Yes,
I think just from a life and balance point of view, all of the .NET 2.0 and all of that capability makes it a 24/7 practice management day, so that everybody can look at that data and will be looking at that data. And at some level, it actually extends the workday, because the accountants, the small firm especially, will go home at night and figure out what they need to look at and spend some time doing it.
Well, it will be interesting to watch how this works, and I suspect you're right, Rich, in how they're doing it. If you are a small firm we'd be real interested in what you're doing and what your thoughts are in the area of time and billing, accounts receivable, client account receivable, practice management, where you're at and what you're looking for. Give us a call. It's 800-456-0864, and the extension is 2106. Give us a call and just give us a short message on what you're doing. We'll play it on the air and respond to it on one of our future episodes. So, last topic, real quickly for today, guys, is trade shows and conferences, and I know everybody's calendar is filling up quickly, and you know we're going out to a bunch of these things. Let's give the listeners some advice on where they ought to go to hear people and see the latest stuff. What's your thoughts, Brent? What do you tell people? Where should they be going?
Well, I assume you're talking about for technical type advice.
Yeah, accounting technical.
Okay. The user conferences are great. Obviously, Creative Solutions this year is going to be in Hawaii, not a bad spot. CCH, I haven't heard where they're going to be.
They're in Dallas the 3 days immediately prior to that Thompson conference.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for Intuit to have a users conference.
They have the Enterprise Conference, but that's really an end-user conference. And, our fellow columnist Doug Sleater sponsors the Sleater Group Conference, and I think he had 500-plus there last year, and he's sold out for the last 3 years. He keeps moving to bigger hotels. I know he's moving to a bigger hotel there. He's at the Rio this year, and so he can be lots bigger than that. That's probably as close to a quote Intuit conference as there is. It's QuickBooks centric.
Yeah, QuickBooks centric, and
but the people who are there are Randy, you spoke there last year. What did you think of that conference?
Well, it was a very practical conference, and in chatting with Doug over the last few weeks, he thinks that he'll probably run 900, maybe even 1,000 people there this year, but still maintain the heavy learning and intimacy. So I think that's an excellent place to get good, practical, continuing education.
Right. Those three. So, I mean, if you're in the user conference mode, those are great. We'll put links to all of those in our show notes. We're all speaking at Tech, so we have to say nice things about Tech Plus in Las Vegas. And that's always a good conference on the accounting technology, a little bit more, can I say, larger firm-oriented, kind of?
Yeah, you know, if you really think about how tech has evolved through the years, it serves three primary audiences. It has the consultants in that really service the accounting software industry. It has the managers and technicians that are in let's just say CPA firms, and then it really has industry CFO, CIO class people. So there's three different audiences that are there. But yes, the focus does tend to be on larger operations, because if you think about what happens, you can get some of this information at smaller or local conferences, but the more specialized and larger scale items are hard to pick up. So traditionally the topics have been focused more on something that you couldn't get anywhere else.
Right. And that conference is June 10th through the 13th, the Sunday through Wednesday, in Las Vegas at the Mirage.
Now, I'd like to go on a tangent to all this, and there's a lot of information and conferences that one can attend without ever leaving home.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff that the magazine has put up there in terms of podcasts like this one. There's also a lot of webcasts coming out of CITP.
Right.
It should be noted. Right. This whole week, Microsoft has held the Small Business Summit. And while all the sessions this week are live and broadcast a video, starting next week, all of the sessions from this week will be available for viewing for the next 12 months.
Right. If you're looking for the online kind of stuff, the learning without leaving my office, there's no end to great experiences there. And I mean, there are also good solid communities out there. We talked about that LTUG and the ARNI and the ProFX Tax Listserv and CITP Talk, and there's things out there. Like that, Accountants World has got good community things, but for a lot of people, there's nothing like getting to the conference, walking down the trade show floor, talking to other practitioners, walking into a session, seeing a speaker, seeing a Randy Johnson or a Brent Goodfellow, looking them in the eye, and talking to them after the class. That's what a lot of people are looking for. So let's click off some of these other shows that people go to or like. I like that Los Angeles show, and at the LA show, which is Monday and Tuesday, the 4th and 5th of June, we will award the Innovations in Tax and Accounting Technology Awards, the Innovation Awards at that conference, and that's always kind of fun. And then we represent them again at Tech. The Chicago show in August. Florida has two shows, one in Orlando and one in Fort Lauderdale, one in June and one later on in September. We'll put the links to those. And then the Southeastern Accounting Show. Randy, did you speak at that last year?
I did not, but we did have Mac McClellan.
Okay, Mac was there. That's grown to a pretty good-sized show, hasn't it?
It has indeed. And, in fact, there are, as you're mentioning, some of these regional shows that are pretty large-scale, like the Midwest in Chicago or the L.A. show or Southeast and so forth. And what's happening is they are becoming national class, and they're certainly making every attempt to have a broad range of topics. So certainly to minimize some travel. You might have a regional show in your area that is of high quality and certainly worth the effort. The Minnesota Business Show that's coming up here in May is a really superb show that I think last year was running 600 people and is probably going to be larger than that this year.
Yep, good solid stuff. So if you get to those shows and you see one of us there, happen to be at the show or maybe speaking at the show, come up and stick your hand out and tell us that that you've listened to us on the podcast and that we really do have a face for radio or whatever the line will be. We'd enjoy talking to you. Randy, we should also talk about the, and I wanted to make sure we included in here, the probably the number one line for practitioners around the country is their own state society's CPE plans, and in an awful lot of states that means that the K2 guys are coming in to do a day or two of accounting technology training, and you guys do it so well. We'll put a link in the show notes so people can go and look and see, and I know you guys have a spot on your website where they can look up by state, see when you're going to be there. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And thank you for mentioning that. In fact, our group is going to produce a little over 800 sessions or all-day CPE this year, and we'll probably reach about 35,000 of you directly. So, again, if you have suggestions on things you'd like to see, dates or times in your states, if you contact your state society, we'll work it out with our Hammond office.
Right. Well, you guys are undoubtedly the premier provider in that world. So anyway, guys, there's lots of opportunities for people to go out and learn things. So we look forward to seeing you all. We are out of time. So that's a wrap for episode 3. And I look forward to talking to all of you and next month for episode 4. Thank you so much for joining us today, Rich. We enjoyed having you.
It's a pleasure.
All right, Randy.
I hope you invite me again.
Have a great day today. I know you're going off to speak right now, right? have a great day. Brett, thanks so very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay, bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
That wraps up this edition of Tech to Go. Join the team around the table again next month for more technology advice and insight you can trust.
Tech to Go has been brought to you by the CPA Technology Advisor. Visit cpatechadvisor.com for more great podcast programs from the intersection of technology and public accounting.